All right. Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. Just tell me a bit about it. What's like your name? What are you doing and how did you come to make soap?
So my name is Robin Green, and I started making soap in 2004 when I was a computer trainer and had dry, itchy skin. And I was taking a class on eBay when one of the participants in the class had on their computer screen soap for dry, itchy skin. And I thought, that's me. I need that soap. So I commandeered the chair and showed the rest of the class how to buy soap off the internet, off eBay. 2 weeks later, I received that soap from England. It actually had emu oil in it, and the emu oil came from Australia, went to England, got put into soap, and Bunny Me bought the soap in Australia. So full circle for this emu oil. I tried it. It was much better than the normal soap from the supermarket. And after having bought a few bars over a few months, I thought in the shower one morning, I had a really light glow moment, if you like, thinking, I wonder if I could make soap. Well, I couldn't wait to get out of the shower. I raced the internet, soap making recipes, methodologies. I raced to bookshops, bought all the books I could on soap making, and studied it for 2.5 months. Then I decided that I'd bite the bullet and make a batch of soap. And that soap, after 4 weeks' wait, and really it was quite painful waiting 4 weeks for it to cure. I tried it and it was the best soap ever. My husband said, this is amazing. I thought it was amazing. And I thought, I've got to make some more. So I made another batch. And it was just before Christmas, and I gave the soap to my relatives, friends, anyone that I needed to give a gift to. And they all loved it and said, you've got to make more. So I made quite a few batches over the next month. And when I started computer training again, I actually took it to the class. And when people looked at it, they said, oh, I'd love to buy that soap. And by the end of an 8-week course, I had customers. And a few of our students were running farmers markets and invited us to sell our soap at the farmers market. And after about 6 months, I was selling soap at five farmers markets and didn't have time to teach anymore. And so it took off. I registered a business name and made a website and just put it out there. Before I knew it, I was so busy and everyone just loved the soap. Much better than a supermarket soap that was drying on the skin. At least my soap was moisturizing, and people became addicted very, very quickly.
I always remember this story. I think it's a really incredible story because also, how old were you when
I
you
was
started your
55.
soap? Yeah, exactly. Because some people think they're always too old to start things. So I think this is a definitely encouraging thing that you can still start something with 55, and then it's kind of like picks up. But also, I mean, I'm using only your soap now for I think like 11 years. And I remember I met you in the library and I couldn't wait to learn more. And back then you were with Penry in your garage making soap. And then I learned a lot from you and I learned so much about the products. And tell me how, like, what is the difference between all the products you can buy in the supermarket and between a handmade soap?
So the products in the supermarket are usually made by machines, and they've got a lot of palm oil, which I don't like a lot of palm oil because of the environment. We use 50% olive oil, 25% coconut oil, and 25% sustainable segregated palm oil to give it a really creamy lather, and it's very moisturizing. And also, we leave the glycerin in our soap. So the supermarket soap are usually without glycerin. That is taken out of the soap when it's made because it sticks to their machines. We leave it in because we hand make it with pots and and molds and things like that. And the glycerin leaves the soap very, very moisturizing on the skin. And that's the main difference. The supermarket soap is drying and ours is moisturizing.
Yeah, and I think I think what I read or what you told me at once is also that glycerin only forms in the salt making process, yeah. Right? And that's why they extract it and sell it separately and then fill the other soap with all the salts and different things that dries your skin out, which means then you got you need
And some soaps have titanium dioxide in to make them white, and that actually is a skin irritant to a lot of people.
Yeah.
We don't use that.
Yeah. And so what would you say, why it would be encouraging as well to use handmade soap? Is it like also better for the environment? What's your turn on this?
Yeah, I think so, because for some reason commercial soaps use ETDA, which is a chelating agent, and that's not so good in the environment either. We don't use that. You don't need it.
What is it? Yeah.
It's a chelating agent. A preservative. Yeah, it's like a preservative. I think it makes it the soap last longer.
Yeah.
We don't need it. It's not necessary.
No, it's true. I definitely love the soap, and it's just it has really changed my life on looking at all the products that are on shelves, you know, because I remember I always had this, I remember you told me this story about that you had from your socks, from the elastic, you had this like rash on your feet, on your leg, right? And that's also where you started the soap. And I had always dry hands. I was always carrying around hand cream. I never thought it was coming from the soap I was using. And then since I use your soap, I even use it for hand washing. Never have to cream my hands ever again since like 11.
No, that's the amazing thing.
And also then of course you do like the I use it for dishwashing as well, just a piece of soap with a sponge, because we don't have a dishwasher, and also in the washing machine. And so, of the things you make mixing with the borax and the rest of the like the grated soap, and it's like the best thing. It's the only thing that gets massage oil out of my massage towels.
Yeah, right.
So
it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Since I've been using it for laundry soap, all my stains have disappeared from my clothes.
Yeah.
I was really surprised. One day I was ironing. I thought, I don't have those stains anymore. They've all gone. Oh, it must be my soap.
What would you like to share? What is your best outcome, outlook on, you know, being a businesswoman, starting your business with 55, encouraging others to do so, but also with the product you're making? Like, do you have some key learnings and encouragement for other people to become their own business owner, but also using high standard products, and obviously also possibly save a lot of money on using better products than cheaper ones?
So we do teach soap making, so when people come to the class they can ask all the questions they like. They watch us make and then they make on their own. The notes are really good, so they can follow those again when they get home and make their own soap. People love it. They get addicted. It's easy to become a soapaholic, as I found out, and a lot of other people too. And then if people want to start a business after they've done our course, I'm always willing to help them and be their mentor. Now that my husband and I are in our 70s, we're actually starting to retire from soap making, or at least this month we have retired from soap making, but we are going to keep running classes for a while. And in those classes, we do the demonstration batch, which will be sold on the internet still. So we will be doing those small batches, but not big batches, not running the business as hard as we have been. We're just slowly retiring.
Yeah.
But so we want to, my main mission, if you like, is to give everyone the opportunity to make soap. If you can cook in the kitchen, soap making is just measuring oils, getting them to the certain temperature, mixing with a stick blender, pouring into molds and cutting and putting it away. It's not hard. Perhaps the most dangerous thing of all is using caustic soda. So in the classes, we teach people how to be safe with caustic soda. The caustic soda and water, when mixed with oil, starts a chemical process called saponification, and that turns into beautiful soap that's good for the skin and is no longer dangerous. And that's what I wanted, the message I want to carry on and teach people.
That's amazing.
Everyone should have the ability to make some soap.
I think I learned a lot from you, like also it really had shifted my mind on, like, you know, I mean, of course, it depends on which essential oils you put in the soap, but it can be also rather a cheap, even if it's a handmade soap, it can be still a cheap soap, you know, if you're not putting the most expensive essential oil in. But also how easy it was to make actually a cream for your face or your skin if you want to or need to. And the small ingredients. And then it really changed my, you know, thoughts on how expensive things are in supermarkets and shops. And I think it's partly also what my turn is like that it actually, with the handmade soap, you have no plastic waste.
Yes,
because it's just wrapped in a paper, or if at all in or not, you know. And then also it doesn't leave a plastic waste, but also it's better for your skin. And then you don't need anything else. Like, there are so many products you can cut out of your daily life if you have just one good product. And you do a shampoo bar, so literally, if you want, you can use your soap for all the things I mentioned already before. So, like dishes, washing machine, and your skin. Then you made a hair soap. You also have a pet soap. And you have a liquid soap. Okay, the liquid soap is in a plastic bottle, but you could possibly also find some if you want
to. So one of our contract customers give us glass bottles to fill with our liquid soap. That's fine, except if you drop it in the bathroom and you've got small children, that's a bit dangerous. You can keep reusing your plastic bottle, so if you can get it in a bigger container and just keep refilling your plastic bottle, or you can go to Kmart or Target, one of those stores, and buy a China liquid soap pump and just keep filling that.
So you have quite a lot of products.
Yeah, we have. which we're slowly moving away from because we're retiring. But I'm happy for other people to start making and start selling and that sort of thing as well.
And you, you also, I think, taught people that have their own soap business now, which means they possibly follow similar recipes. Which means I might just link them in the show notes, and then people can purchase from there, or until stock lasts at Robin's Soap House.
So until stocks last from Robin's Soap House, and then on my website I'm going to put the links of where else people can go to once we've sold up our soap.
What was your biggest learning on what did you take away from this nearly 15 years or however nearly 20 possibly of soap making?
So we've been making soap for 18 years, and I've been very fortunate. This was my third business since I was 28. I was working in an office between 24 and 28, doing the job of three people but being paid for one person. And I thought, you know, if I left here and started working for myself, I'd probably make three times the amount of money because of my energy levels and how hard I can work. And it was quite true. But in the back of my mind, since I was quite young, I always wanted to make something. I wanted to be a manufacturer of something useful. And so having run a secretarial service for 15 years, I had a computer training business for 15 years, and then the very fact that I thought of making soap the seed seemed to come to fruition. This is my manufacturing. This is what I've always wanted to do. I'm meant to do. It's healthy for people. It's going to do good. Let's give this a go. And it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. And I've loved helping people and their skin problems. So many people have had dermatitis and gone to skin specialists, and it wasn't until they used my soap that they threw away all the creams and all the other soaps they were using and just used my soap, and it completely cured their skin conditions, eczema, dermatitis, and all of that sort of thing.
Beautiful. And I guess it's also like with the there has been a lot of connections between people as well, right? Because
you have
become as well like this person that where people come to you and they learn, and you help people if they don't have a job, but you also I remember you had this lady that grew lavender and you used her lavender oil and the soap, and then she took it back from you and then sold it with her lavender oil. And so you have been a good
we have a lot
social connection point as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. And we've been lucky that we've had the energy to do 13 farmers markets a month. And so on the first Saturday, we would do one market at one place, and then my husband would do a market on that day as well. So on the Saturday, we'd do two markets, and then on the Sunday, we'd do two markets, and we'd rotate week by week. And so we were at a lot of places, 13 markets a month. People got to know us. They became regular customers. And we were selling at the coalface, so people were able to tell us what sort of soap they wanted. And if we didn't have it, I'd say, we'll come back next month to this market and we'll have it for you. So we built up our range by what people wanted. Yeah. And that's really important. A lot of soap makers think that they can make and sell what they like themselves. That doesn't work. You've got to listen to the customer. And you've got to make what they want. And that's the secret to success as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you have been such an inspiration, I think. That's why it's also nice to interview you, because I think people can take a lot from this, you know, on starting their own business in a later age in their life.
Yeah.
Being a woman, tell us, how is this working with your husband?
Well, we've been really lucky because we work together as computer trainers, and with the soap making, Penry let it be my business until I really needed him, or rather he saw me employing someone for about 12 months, and he said, you've been employing this person for 2.5 days a week. He said, I can help you for 2.5 days a week and save you some money. And I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. So he became my apprentice. And then about 6 months later, I thought, he's really competent now. He could actually make soap on his own if he needed to. And that very same weekend, the children wanted to try a farmer's market and I let them. And the following week, I broke my hip and was in hospital, and my husband and the kids took over because they knew what they were doing. And 3 months later, I came back into the business again, and my husband keeps saying he was in charge for quite a while until I came back on board and he became my slave again. It's a standard joke. We work well together. And in the factory, which we've been working in for the last 8 years, what I discovered was I let him do his passion now of making soap, and I'm in the office running the business, talking to clients, taking orders, doing all the ordering, purchasing, selling and everything. And he's very, very happy just making soap, and he does a great job.
Yeah, and so actually you started in your garage, and then even with how old were you, like 65, you even bought a factory and expanded, didn't you? How cool is that?
Actually, then, I started in the kitchen and the laundry.
Yeah.
And then we decided we had to renovate the house and we put on the 7-square garage for soap making. In fact, the architect said, I'm going to give you 2 skylights and we're going to put a wall and there's going to be half the garage for Penry's Hobbies and half for your soap making. Well, within a week, I took over the whole garage and Penry had his golf clubs in the top corner of the garage right near the door. And that's the space he had. So that's really, if he wanted to use the garage, he had to take up soap making.
Yeah. Amazing.
But that's also happened to a friend of mine who's a soap maker, and suddenly her husband's realised he had to get all his stuff out of the garage and give her the space if she wanted to keep going with the soap making business. So yeah, it is one of those things that happens.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to do. So there are definitely a lot of factors to it that I mentioned already.
And then the garage lasted 6 years. And the soap was right through the house as well as the garage bursting at the seams. And our youngest son said, Mum, it's time you bought a factory. And that night I looked on commercial real estate on the internet, found a factory in Knoxfield that looked really good, saw the real estate agent the next day. And yes, it had such a good feeling. We had to buy it. We went to the bank the day after. And the day after that, it was ours or the bank's that we had to pay off. But yeah.
Yeah,
the factory is amazing. Everything under one roof and plenty of space, and it served us really well for the last 8 years. We've been very, very fortunate.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else important you like to share that I haven't asked you?
Just for everyone that thinks that they might want to do soap making or any other business, just follow their passion, follow their dreams, and it'll come to fruition with a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And what are your, looking back on your life, what are your 3 advices you can give people that you think are really fruitful for yeah, I think you said just one, like follow your passion, but what would be?
Follow your passion.
Yeah.
I think always believe in putting it out to the universe, what you want to do in life, and just wait and it'll come because you know what you want and you see the opportunities and you grab them and it just happens. Like, for example, the things that happen when you put it out to the universe. Current Affair contacted me and wanted to do an interview of me making soap from home. And I put the link on my website. And a couple of years later, that link disappeared. And I thought to myself, oh, that's a shame. What are the chances of Current Affair ever contacting me again? I just put it out there. The next day, I got a phone call from Current Affair in Sydney wanting to do another interview. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. I put it out there and it happened. That's the story of my life. Yeah. You've got to have some faith. Yeah. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It just happens.
This is a nice finished sentence, I think, on... I think it's true. It's so nice.
Opportunities come up.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Lena.
This insight. I just gotta stop the recording.